Morning, Cornerstone Church. At this time, I would like to invite our prayer ministry team leader, Hannah Price, up to join me, and is going to share a bit about how she connects to God with prayer, through prayer, and how we can connect to God through prayer as well. If you have your Bibles open while we're beginning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6 to prepare for the sermon.
Hi.
Hey, Hannah. So Hannah, why don't you tell us, why do you pray?
So, simply, I pray to connect with God, but I guess I pray to talk with God. It's a relationship with Him. I mean, this is what Jeremy talks about on Sundays, is what makes Christianity different from any other faith, and this relationship that we get to have, and communication is such a big part of our relationship with each other. It should also be, you know, a big part of our relationship with God as well, that we get to talk with Him and hear Him, listen to Him, you know, and battle stuff out like Jacob when you don't understand, and God's always going to meet you with peace and grace and love and bring you with that understanding that you don't always get.
It can be, you know, kind of unusual to be, you know, trying to talk to someone who you're not looking at face to face. Would you share to us, like, how do you pray? How do you get, you know, focused and connect with God?
Yeah. So, how do I pray? Sometimes it's really short. Sometimes it's just like I'm shooting God a text message, and I'm like, hey, God, I'm thinking about you, and I love you. I'm so grateful for this and this, and you're amazing. And then sometimes it's like, I call him up like it's a two-hour phone conversation. I can't see his face, but he's just listening and loving on me, and I'm like, help me, what is this? What's going on? And he just listens to you, and then in turn, you just get to sit, and you just find yourself remembering his scriptures. The more you're in the scripture, like, that's God's word, and that's his words to us, and all of a sudden, you'll be hearing these words, a piece of scripture, verses reminding you who you are and who God is. You know, you remember that he is all-powerful, almighty. So it's kind of a balance. It's between, like, this intimate, loving relationship I have with God as my dad, but it's also, like, awe-inspiring of this almighty, star-breathing God that's worthy of praise. And, you know, it's humbling. You humble yourself, truly, when you're in his presence, so... I don't know, it just flows out of me at this point, but I feel like, I don't know, if you think about it, like we were talking about as a relationship, when you don't know someone so well, it's kind of awkward at first. You're like, I don't really know you, what do I say? Hey God, who are you? But then as you start to know him, and it's someone that you're intimately close with, that knows you and knows your heart, created you, conversations can get deeper. You're more dependent on him. He's the one that you want to talk to when something big and exciting happens, or he's the one you want to talk to when you're like, I'm struggling, like, I need your solid presence. He's just the anchor.
How about when do you pray? Either maybe, you know, time of day or time of life, like, when do you do it?
Yeah. So, I pray about as often as you, I don't know, when you think about a family member, or you think about, like a friend or someone you really care about, like, how often do you message them? How often you, like, hey, I'm picking up groceries, like, about that often. You know, I'm like, oh, hey, God, just checking in this morning. Like, it's normally in the morning to start off. You know, it's like, I have no idea what this day is going to hold, but God does. And so normally to start my day, I'm like, sometimes I'll run around in the morning. By the time I get in my car, I'm like, okay, God, let's go to work. We're going now. I need you. And, he's just your source of all things that are heaven, like peace and joy and patience and goodness. And so whenever I feel lacking the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, I definitely turn to him to find the fruits of his Spirit. You know, I'm praying and talking to the God that can provide all these things that I'm lacking.
So there's a lot of different ways to connect with God. We can connect with God through his word, reading the Bible, through a sermon, through the music. And we all have different ways that we connect with God, maybe more easier, more naturally. If I'm someone who is finding it a challenge to, you know, find that connection with God in prayer, what sort of encouragement or guidance can you maybe offer that person?
So, I don't know, kind of the overarching theme that I kept as I was praying about talking about prayer was honestly just the relationship part. I feel like if you are struggling to connect with God, dig into his word first, because like I said, like his word is his voice. Like that's his voice. Like he wrote that to us. So if you're struggling to get to know him or connect with him, dig into who he is, who he wrote it down. It's solid. It's trustworthy. And then just do it. Like it can't be awkward. You just got to do it. Like you just, even if it like feels weird to you, God's like, oh, you're my sweet child and it's okay. Like, you used the wrong verb. No, I don't know. He doesn't do that. But like, it's just, you just, how did you figure out how to walk? You're like, I'm not going to walk. I'm going to keep falling over. You just do it. You just dig in. But if you are struggling with something like, I'm struggling just bringing this to God, or I'm sometimes, like Brandon knows, I'll just be in this place where I get stuck and I like shut down. So it's just like shut down Hannah mode. There's nothing going on inside. And I honestly, we're created to be in community with each other. And so what we need is somebody else to talk to God for us and like speak his truth into us and over us and his presence. So honestly, ask somebody else to pray for you. Just be like, hey, I need help. Pray for me. And little plug, we do have a prayer team in the back. And that's what we're here to do. We don't know. We don't have like all the answers. We just know a guy who does. So we just want to, like, take your hand and be like, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Let me just take your hand and walk with you into God's throne room. Let me bring you to our dad. He has the answers. He has the peace. He knows. So that's all that we're there back there for, basically, is to just walk with you, fight with you, you know, see God's victories in your life with you. It's to be a part of it. We're not meant, I think Quentin talked about, we're not meant to be islands. We're made for each other. So there are going to be times in your life where I'm just stuck and I can't talk to God, or there's a specific topic that I'm like, oh, I just don't know what God's going to say, or wherever you're coming from. And you just need someone else to speak over you and speak that truth into you. So I would encourage you, next time someone is like expressing something, like a frustration, or they're just saying, hey, this happened with a family member and this is really hard, take that bold move and be like, can I pray for you about it? Like, let's bring it to God. And I think the more and more that you do that and feel comfortable, you're just opening yourself to be able to see what God's going to do. Like, I think you're just going to deepen your relationship with God as you get to be a part of other people's, like, watch God give other people victory. You're just going to be amazed at, yeah, I don't know. Just go do it. Go talk to him. He's great.
And I think one of the most hard parts as we grow in our faith is we get to a point where we've prayed for something that we know is good, right? Like, it's not ambiguous here. We know that this is good, and yet we did not receive what we thought we would get from God in that time. How have you overcome that in your life or grow? How has your faith, how have you dealt with that in your faith life?
So this is a really hard question that I think we need to ask ourselves. Like, ask God the hard questions. Like, he's big enough. He made you. He can answer those hard questions. And so be real with him. I mean, I honestly think it boils down to, is God still good? Even if these good, honest prayers aren't answered the way we hope them to. And I just think about Daniel. In Daniel, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to get thrown into a fire by the king, and they're like, God can save us, but if he doesn't, he's still good. So when you're bringing this, you're like, my loved one, me, myself, we're about to get thrown into a fire. Do you still believe that God's good, even if you burn? You know, and I think that's the ultimate question that it challenges. Do you still believe that he's good? Can you still trust him? And I think that's really just something that you battle out with God, situation to situation. I mean, personally, I did some missions, and just seeing people in severe poverty, or like, I had this moment where I saw a little girl struggling with an illness, and it was like, if I were to have this illness, I'd get flown back to the United States and given medication, and this is her reality. Like, what is this, God? Like, is he still good? You know, if she were to die from this, is he still good? And, you know, after a long time of battling this out, like, God, I'm really confused. I believe you're good. I believe this, but I'm seeing this all around me. And I guess the answer that I got in my seeking is that, yes, we are on earth. This isn't heaven. We're not in heaven yet. Heaven is where God's presence is everywhere. Like, so all of his goodness, pain, everything that's earthly is gone. But because we're still on earth, we're still going to experience that. And so he doesn't promise that it's going to be like heaven, but he does promise that he's going to take these earthly things, he's going to take these pains, he's going to take these wrongs, and he's going to turn around and use them for his good. And that's the hope that we get to hold on to, that it's like, even though our answers, our prayers don't always get answered, first, we still get to pray as if they are going to do, you know, like in Daniel. We still get to pray like he can heal my sister, like he can save me from this burning fire. He can do it, but even if he doesn't, he's still good. And that's a journey. That's not just like a, I woke up and I believe this, you know, that you get to work through in learning who he is and trusting him, really. So, yeah.
Anna, would you take a moment and would you pray for the Holy Spirit to move in our church through prayer, the prayer in our worship services, and the prayer in our lives at home?
Of course. God, I am just humbled to be used by you. I am so grateful for this community, for Cornerstone Church, just that your presence is here, that you are moving within us, that you are going before us into the future, and you already have wonderful and good, exciting plans for Cornerstone, and we just want to accept them. We just want to take a hold of them. We just want to be a part of it. So God, would you just move in our hearts and give us the courage to be obedient? Even if we're afraid, can we just do it afraid? Can we just talk to you, even though it might be really chumbly? Can you just, whatever that next step looks like for us in our relationship with you, would you just take us into that, whether it's praying for another person or just talking to you personally? God, we just love you and we praise you, and we thank you so much for what you are doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you have a prayer request, we have a prayer board in the back with index cards. You can write down your prayer. We have pens on the Bible table and stick it in one of those clips, and then we'll have the prayer team pray for you throughout the week. And then also, every week, we've got prayer volunteers in the back that you can pray with. Thank Hannah for coming up and sharing with us today. All right, so we are going to begin reading in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to talk about prayer, we're going to talk about why we pray in church, and how we can pray in order to connect with God, whether we're at church or at home. We pray at church to provide that space where we can come and be inspired by the Holy Spirit and what he's doing through the lives of the believers in our church. Sometimes we don't feel that sort of confidence in prayer or in God alone, and we come to church and we see what God is doing. We talk with other believers, we're inspired by their faith, and we are inspired to connect and open up our hearts to connecting with God as well. And so that's one of the reasons why we take time out of the service to pray. Brandon, who's got a real passion for prayer, will pray at different points throughout the service. And we're going to talk about how we can pray to connect with God and more about the purpose of why we pray. And so in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, starting verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we're going to pause right there for a moment. Before we go any further, I forgot to do the announcements here. There we go. I'm super excited about The sermon series is coming up after this as well. It's called Positive Power, and we're going to talk about the power that comes not from being positive, but the positivity that comes from knowing a powerful God. Positivity is absolutely essential in life. It is life-changing. It is so incredibly valuable. And the world will tell you about the power of positive thinking, but positive thinking without a reason to be positive is delusional. And it is ultimately not helpful. It is an empty promise. But we know a powerful God, an all-powerful God, and the positivity that comes not just from trying to think positively, but the positivity that comes from knowing God and his power is life-changing. So we're going to be reading through the book of Philippians, talking about God's power and how it leads to our positivity. That's coming up in a few weeks. Also, on June 30th, we're going to have a vision meeting. We used to call these business meetings, but business meetings didn't really capture what's going on at these meetings. We're calling them now vision meetings, talking about how we're using the resources that God has given us to accomplish the vision that he has given us. And so June 30th, I invite all of you to come after the service. We'll meet in the library for a short time. We'll hear a quick update on what God is doing on our mission trip. We'll have a short update about what God is doing through the church that we helped to plant. And then we're going to vote on our budget. And budgets are, you know, money. It's a little boring, but I would really love for you to look at the budget, take a moment, analyze it. It's available on ccblaine.org, and be inspired by how we're using the resources God has given us to accomplish his vision. How our budget reflects our values, I think, is something to be extremely excited about. And so even though numbers are boring, it's going to be a great vision meeting, and it's a great budget. Again, go online to ccblaine.org and take a look at that. All are invited to attend. Only members are able to vote on that budget and pass it or not. If you're interested in being a member, I would love to have you as a member. And we believe that the Holy Spirit of God is in each one of us who believes in Jesus Christ. And so to have good church organization and structure, we would love to have you be a member. So that Holy Spirit that's in you, God is using that to help guide our church. And then if you're new here, Pizza Ranch is coming up next Tuesday. We go there a couple times a year, two or three times a year, and we all eat dinner together. And we have anywhere between 20 and 70 people who come on a Tuesday. Kids eat free with the purchase of an adult meal. If you're newer here and you've never been to the Pizza Ranch with us before, dinner is on me. The reason why we do that is because you guys are the church, and I love getting to know you guys. I love each and every one of you, and I would love for you guys to know each other more and more. And so if you're newer here, we'd love for you to come and connect with the church. All right, back to our verse for today. Jesus tells us, he says in verse 7 there, essentially, he says, don't be like the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words and phrases. We're going to start with that verse first. The Gentiles are essentially people who don't know God. At the time, there were the Israelites who God had been speaking to and revealing himself to, who he is, what he's like. And then there were the Gentiles, those who did not know God. And so basically what Jesus is saying as we begin here is, you know, how do we pray? Well, pray like you know God. Don't be like the people who don't know God. Don't pray like them. And there is a difference between people who know God and those who don't, and then how we pray. People who don't know God do weird things in their prayers. And people who know God pray differently. Now, if you know God, you're going to pray a certain way. You're going to pray with humility because God is so much greater than us. You are going to pray with reverence because God is so mighty and awesome. You're going to pray in a lot of different ways, but one of the ways that you're going to pray is comfortably, because you know God, and you know he's good, and you know he loves you. And when we don't know God, we pray weirdly, and the Gentiles prayed weirdly. They'd carve these wooden statues, and they'd bow down before those statues. The Gentiles would have these formulaic prayers that were essentially like magic incantations. If you say these words, you say in the right order, then something magic happens, and the spirits and the gods, they move, and they do these things. And Jesus is like, don't pray like those people. They don't know God. And when we don't know God, our prayers are going to be weird. And when we know God, our prayers are going to be more comfortable. And there are a lot of great ways to grow in your prayer life. Lots of great books, lots of great helps. There's actually prayers that people have written down that you can read the words and sort of pray those for yourself if you don't know what to say. There's lots of good methods of prayer and prayers that can be said that can all help our spiritual life. But the first thing that we need to remember is if we know God, we'll remember that this is a relational thing. We'll remember that the power in the prayer is in God. It's the one we're talking to, not the way we pray or necessarily even what we say. And we're heard, the Gentiles, they thought they were heard by, you know, if I bow down this idol enough, if I say the right words, if I say them in the right order. But Jesus is going to tell us that we're heard by God because he's our Heavenly Father. Not because we've said the right things in the right order, or we've spoken long enough, or we've done the right dance. We've bowed down to the right direction. There are many people in this world who pray weirdly because they don't know who God is. And Jesus is going to tell us, pray like you know God. Just talk to him. And it's interesting how Christians, out of a desire to really connect with God, can be misled and suddenly start acting like those who don't know God. We think the power is in the form of the prayer. A long time ago, 20 years ago, there's a great book that came out named The Prayer of Jabez, which is a scriptural prayer in the Old Testament. And it's a great prayer, but people sort of, you know, it's a great help. That book is really a great help. But you read it and you think, some people will start to think that if I say this prayer and I say it in the right way, well then I will be blessed by God. That's not the point. That's not the point. There's another great book that came out recently called Circle Maker, where it's like to help you focus, essentially. You pray and you walk a circle around the thing you're praying for as a symbol that God is totally in control and totally surrounding this thing, which he is. But the power is not in walking a circle. The power is in Jesus. And Christians who know God will remember that the power is in God, but Christians who start to lose and have our faith waver will start to think that the power is in the method in the prayer. The power is not in the oil we use to anoint the head. It's not in the beads that we grab when we pray. It's in Jesus Christ. And we're heard because, not because we said the right words or we did the right thing, we're heard because Jesus Christ is our, in our language, he's our pastor. Jesus is our pastor. The Bible in Hebrews would say he's our high priest. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose from the grave for eternal life. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He and the Father are one. And when we pray to God in his name, we are heard because he is our pastor. We can come to him directly. And when we have faith in Jesus Christ and come to him directly, when we have faith in that, then God hears our prayers and we are blessed. And it's interesting how Christians, out of a desire to connect with God as our faith wavers, will occasionally start to do strange things. We'll start, you know, many Christians will pray to dead saints as though maybe that they can hear them. Or Jesus' mother Mary, maybe she can hear me. Or I'll take the beads and I'll do the thing. And if I say it enough and if I do it enough. And none of that is why God hears our prayer. Our faith, none of those dead people are God. None of those dead saints are God. God isn't a certain direction. We don't have to make sure to bow to him. You know, Muslims will bow to a certain direction 5 times a day. Their dedication is completely admirable. In their religion, they have to do this 5 times a day in order to go to heaven. People who are misled on who God is will pray weirdly. And we need to just come to God and pray. I would say our challenge more is just having the discipline to do it. We get so casual about it, I feel like in the evangelical church, we get so casual about it, sometimes we just don't really do it at all. Or if we do pray, it's just a moment here, a moment there, while we have time. We don't really carve out time to have a prayer life. What we do is we pray on the way to work in the car. You know, we pray while we're waiting in line. And so if we know God, our prayers won't be weird. And I also challenge us to make time for those prayers and not become too casual about it either. Now, there's plenty of times where for me to focus and connect with God, for me, for my benefit, I use all these different sorts of prayer methods and helps. Sometimes I'll pray loud prayers. Sometimes I'll pray lengthy prayers. Sometimes I will pray when I run as a way to just focus myself. And I'll go for a run in the woods, and I'll pray that whole time so that way I'm doing something that focuses me so that I can connect with God. But I don't do any of that. A lot of times I bow down, too. I change my physical presence, right? I sit down, I bow down, and this helps me, right, to remember that God owes me nothing, right? I bow down before him. He is great. And everything I have is a gift from him. And bowing down helps me to remember that. I don't come to him entitled. I come to him humble in the correct, the accurate way. And I remember that everything I have, this helps me remember, everything I have is a gift. God owes me nothing. And I don't do those things to get God's attention or so that if I do the right thing, my prayers will be answered. All those things that I do, they're simply a way to focus me because I'm easily distracted. And they help focus me on God's goodness and his spirit. And it's great for me. It's a great spiritual benefit for me that way. Jesus teaches we don't have to do a bunch of strange things to get God's attentions. Don't pray weird. Just pray like you know God. Pray like you're talking directly to God and he loves you. Because you are. And he does. And then Jesus Oh, this is great. This is my daughter, Grace. Okay. When Jesus says, teaches how to pray, he says, say our Father. And on Father's Day, I'm definitely going to look for an opportunity to get one of my cute kids up there on the screen. What a fitting day, Father's Day, to remind ourselves that this is a revolutionary revelation that Jesus gave us about how to talk with God. Now, this is something that, you know, I love religions. I love comparing religions, what's the same, what's different, what was influenced by one, what influenced the other, where did this come from in this religion, where did that come from. The Bible, Judaism, Christianity, is the first religion to believe that God loves us. Isn't that incredible? This is the Bible. This is the first revelation to human beings that God loves. All the world religions, this was the only one who had that revelation. All other religions that have had that revelation have been inspired on our offshoots of the revelation given to us in the Bible. And then when Jesus comes along, he does something that's also completely revolutionary, changed the world, and it changed our thoughts about God. He says, call God your Father. Nobody called God their Father before Jesus Christ. That's something we might be used to now. We might be used to the idea that God loves us now. But it's good to remember this was a life-changing revelation to humanity. He says, pray, when you pray, speak to God and call him your Father. And there's a lot of things that we should do with our Father. We should revere our Father. We should honor our Father. But he is our Father. He's a good father, and we should be comfortable around him. Every once in a while, I see a great father, and you see how the family approaches a good father. And it's wonderful. Every once in a while, I see a great father who's not passive, but who's engaged, who's active in leading the family, who's using his strength and his wisdom not to bully or control, but to guide and protect. It's wonderful. And you see how people approach a father like that. And they approach him comfortably. Because even if Father is going to correct us, we still know that it's going to be in love. And then I see a lot of bad fathers. And unfortunately, this is too many people's experience with their earthly father. And, you know, growing up, I would go over to friends' houses or things like that, and I would see how they approached a bad father. And they had to approach him weirdly. They have certain rituals that they had to do, right? You can't approach dad before work because he's too mad. You can't approach dad after work because he's too mad. Don't approach dad while he's smoking a cigarette. You can't approach dad late at night because then he's had too much to drink. You can't approach dad watching TV because if you interrupt him, he's going to be really mad. Now, you had to approach a bad father in a very weird way. And God is a good father. Well, no matter what our experience is with our earthly fathers, we can approach God comfortably. He is good. He's always there for us. His strength is there to protect us. He ultimately will save us. Even if we ask for something and don't receive it now, ultimately he is going to save us. If we are in need of some correction, he's going to give that to us for our benefit. We don't have to do any strange rituals with God. We can pray like we know God, and we pray to connect with God. And he says, our Father. He says, hallowed be your name. And the word hallowed means to treat as sacred, to treat as ultimate. Jesus says, as you pray, begin to praise God for who he is. And again, this is more for our benefit than for his. God knows he's great. We need to be reminded about how great he is before we start bringing our problems and our lives to him. If we remember who God is before we start bringing our lives and our problems to him, honestly, it's not only a change in our prayers, it's a change for our lives as a whole. It's so important to remember who God is first and who we're talking to and what he's like. And the reason why I have my daughter up there is not just because she's adorable. She is hilarious. She gets really upset when she can't do some things, when she can't get something done. And she'll start screaming, and I feel like something's terrible, so I come around, what's going on? What's going on? And she'll be screaming, and then I'll find out what it is, and it's something just completely solvable, you know? Something like, my sock is bunchy! I can't unbunch my sock! And she's in a panic. She's in a complete panic. And I always help her unbunch her sock. I have to do it all the time. I always unbunch her sock. And it's fascinating to me that I haven't unbunched her sock enough yet. That she's just like, she's not sweating it anymore. It's always a problem for her. Even though I've always helped her do that. I'm like, You'd think she'd be like, well, you know, I can't, my, well, I'm, you know, feel a little blister maybe, and that's no problem. Dad helps me every time. It's, she's focusing on the problem and not on me. That's why she's reacting that way. I got my socks bunched. It's no problem. I'm really good at unbunching socks. We get this fixed all the time. And that's what our lives are like. We forget who we're talking to. And we're just so focused on our problem. That's why Jesus says, start praising God first. God doesn't need our praise. He's fully confident in who he is. We need to praise God so that we remember who he is, so that we can begin to hear from him and connect him to our lives. Before we can hear God speak into the problem of our marriage and the unfaithfulness in it, we need to connect with a faithful God. Once we connect with that faithful God, well, then we'll start hearing him speak into the areas of our lives that are broken. When we are looking at the future, we're like, I have no idea how I'm going to overcome this problem. We need to connect with a God of all power. Once we connect with that God who's got all the power, then suddenly I can start addressing and dealing, hearing him speak with this problem in my life which seems too powerful for me to overcome. And when we pray on Sundays, when we pray at home, the goal is to connect with God and connect with who he is. More than just ask for things, more than just beg God for help. Prayer is primarily to connect with God and who he is. And so as we're praying on Sundays, I encourage you not to just focus on the problem that is just overwhelming your mind and heart, but connect with who God is. Sing those songs and use them as prayers to pray. I use the songs on Sunday as a sort of diving board to spring into prayer. I'll start singing that song, and I'll open my heart up to the words of that song, and I'll start connecting with who God is, and pretty soon I'm not singing that song anymore. I am praising God. I'm connecting with God, and I'm hearing him speak to me, and also connecting him and who he is to the problems in my life. Jesus says, continuing on verse 10, he says, when you pray, say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says that we should pray not so much for what we want, we should pray for what God wants to happen. Now, our prayer should not just be, God, I want, I want, I want. Our prayer should be, God, what do you want? What do you want? May your will be done. And if we worship ourselves, if we think that we're the smartest person in the room at all times, well, then our prayers will be all about what we think should happen. And if we worship God, our prayers will be more about what he thinks should happen. And prayer is not about us. Prayer is not primarily about us trying to change God's mind. Prayer is about God trying to change our hearts. As we come to God and pray, analyze your prayers. What are your prayers characterized by? Whose will are you looking for God to do? And I confess, every time I read this passage, either in Matthew or Luke, and I read this passage about praying for God's will, I'm always convicted. Because my prayers are far more consumed by what I think God should be doing. I know what's good. Why isn't God listening to me? And as I sit here, remember that the purpose of prayer is more than just me trying to change God's mind. It's actually about God changing my heart, and my prayer life gets more healthy again. And we pray on Sundays, we pray not to get what we want, but we pray so that we want what God wants. If you're feeling stuck, maybe you've stopped praying, it could be because your prayers are all about what you want. And if you don't get what you want, then you don't see the reason to come to God anymore in prayer. So here are some reasons to be doing that, even if we've prayed for things and haven't received them. It's not just about us changing God's mind, but about God changing our hearts. And then Jesus says in verse 11, give us, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus didn't say, give us this day my extravagant daily feast. Right? Pray for your immediate needs. And as Jesus already said, God already knows what they are before we bring them to him. He knows we need food, provision, health, companionship. And what are you praying for as you sit down and pray for your needs? Are you praying for needs or are you praying for excesses? Now, some of us have, like, you know, legitimate health concerns that we're praying for, or we need provision. We've lost our jobs, or there's lots of very important needs. I just know I spend a lot of my time praying for things I don't need. And I look down, I sit and I read this prayer, and I analyze what I'm praying for, and I think, why did I pray for more money? Why did I spend my time praying? Well, it's because Satan is enticing my heart away from what God wants with other things. Why aren't I praying more for wisdom, for opportunity to follow God, that my heart be transformed to His? God knows what we need before we ask. Prayer isn't about informing God what we need. He already knows. And what are we praying for? What are you praying for? And here's just a brief, this, we could talk for days on this topic, but just briefly, why doesn't God give us everything we want? And why doesn't even God give us good things? I think there's godly things that we ask for that we don't get as well in prayer. Now, every one of us will have the experience of at least one time praying to God and not getting what we ask for, even if it's good. Right? We're going to pray for our loved one to be healed, and they're going to die. At some point, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to pray for something really good, something that God wants, something that God desires, their healing, their health. And we're going to be told no. Why doesn't God give us everything we want? So I grew up in Blaine International Village off of 65. It was where the old gasoline alley was, which is torn down now, which is crazy. But I grew up in Blaine, and I had a friend who lived in the wealthy neighborhood just north of us. If you Google Maps it later, you can see what I'm talking about. 104th Way, I forget which one it is. But at the end of that road, there's actually a road that goes through to the wealthy neighborhood that they've gated off. They don't want traffic to go in between them. But I could fit my bike through there. And so I'd ride my bike down. I'd get up early on Saturday mornings, and I'd ride my bike down. I'd, you know, get my handlebars one at a time through that fence, through that gate. And I would go right into the wealthy neighborhood where all the kids had all the nice toys. And I had a friend in that neighborhood who had amazing toys. Now, he didn't have many friends, so he loved me coming over. I, on the other hand, could have... That was going to sound so horrible. He could have been anybody, right? I was going to his house because he had that stuff. He had the ping pong table. He had the air hockey table. Perfectly nice kid. Could have been anyone else. I was still going to that house. He had all the newest video games, Sega Genesis, all these things. I loved that kid for his stuff. I did. Now, in this world, God is growing people who love Him. That's the whole point of this thing. Good or evil, which one do we want? This life is a test. And to say that doesn't diminish the value of the things we do here, it actually gives them ultimate value, because this life is a test. The things here, it's not like a test that you just take and then you throw it in the garbage and you're done, like we did in school. This is a test which will determine our eternity. All the things we do here will have lasting, everlasting value. Are we choosing good or are we choosing evil? It is a test. And God is growing people who love Him. That's the whole point of this whole world. There's going to be a celebration in eternity with God. And those who love Him will be there. And so God is growing people in this world who love Him. And every part of this life is a test to see what we're choosing, good or evil. To reveal it both to us and to show it to God. Do we choose Him or do we not? And every time that we pray for something and we don't get it, it's a test. And how do we respond to that test? Do we love God just for the things that we want because we think He's going to give us that thing? Or do we love Him? God wants us to love Him for Himself, not for His toys. And as we pray, we should remind ourselves that the answer to our prayers is not really so much no, it's just like not now. When Jesus returns, God is going to remove all evil. We'll have everything we've ever wanted. The Apostle Paul says, if God gave us His Son, His own Son, what other good thing is He going to withhold from us? As we go through life and we pray, there's many times we've received answered prayers. That time, or maybe multiple times or many times, we pray for something we know is good and we don't receive it. It should be a reminder. What do we love? Do we love God or His things? If I really don't like this thing, then I will really love God. If I really don't like this evil, then I really will love God, because He is the solution to the problem. And ultimately, if I keep my faith in Him, I will receive freedom from this problem. verse 11, we pray for our needs, Jesus tells us. Going on in verse 12, Jesus says, pray when you pray, pray forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. And he says, deliver, we pray for forgiveness. It says, deliver us not, and we pray against evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we talk a lot about repentance here in Cornerstone because that's like most of what's in the Bible is repent. Now, there's a lot of ways that we can feel we connect with God. It's incredibly important to feel that you've connected with God. But more so than feelings, it's important to know that you have connected with God. And this is how we connect with God. What's separating us from God is our sin, ultimately. If we're standing before God, we won't doubt his goodness. As we pray in our prayers, maybe we asked for something good and we didn't receive it and we start to doubt God's goodness. If we're not separated from God because of our sin, if we're standing face to face before God, all those doubts are removed. It's our sin that separates us from God. And more so than feeling like we've connected with God, the important thing is to know that we have connected. And this is how we connect with God. If you pray that prayer today, Lord, I repent of my sins, and admit that your sins are sins. I am a sinner. I admit it. I repent of my sins, and I believe in you, Jesus Christ, for my forgiveness and salvation. That is connecting with God. And if you want to connect with God today, that is how you can know that you've connected with God, no matter how we feel. This is what's separating us from God is our sins. And as we repent of that, as we accept his salvation and forgiveness for that, then we know we've connected with God. Jesus also says, pray that you would be delivered from evil. There's no shortage of evil. There's no shortage of evil in this world, and we pray to God to protect us from that as well. And so as we pray during the service, pray to connect with God, pray for these things, use these songs as a springboard into prayer, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we know we can be heard by you, not because we are superstitious or believe in mystical chants or carve a wooden idol or bow down to the right direction or wear the right uniform while we do it or whatever it is, but we thank you that we know that we can be heard by you because of Jesus Christ, that you came down into our world and you showed us your love for us, that you rose from the grave and are seated at the right hand of the Father, and that our prayers are heard by you. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you this morning, to speak to the creator of all the universe. Is an incredibly awesome and humbling experience to be able to approach you and speak to you and for you to actually listen and hear what we have to say. Lord, I pray that as we look to connect with you through prayer, that you'd inspire our hearts through your Spirit to be able to focus on you and focus on who you are, that our prayer life would be more than just bringing to you a laundry list of our needs, but our prayer would be able to connecting with you, knowing who you are, and growing in faith. Lord, I pray for strength for all of us who are struggling with some evil in our lives. Lord, we pray that you'd give us a strength to overcome that. God, we pray for deliverance from that. In your mercy, Lord, we pray that that would be now. And God, if that answer to that is that it is someday, then Lord, I pray for the strength for us to know that you are good through it. And all these things we pray, and we pray for the offering which we're about to receive as well. In Jesus' name, amen. This time our ushers are going to collect the offering. If you're a guest here today, we ask that you put your connection card in the basket with your name and your email so we can start letting you know about the great things that God is doing here at church and ways to connect with our church and with him. After the baskets pass, please stand and join us in worship.